Cause I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows. I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows. I whistle
while I... And welcome to the 2014 season premiere of AFL Tonight. I am Tim Capper along with Adam Markowitz. Welcome back, sir, from a very, very long and interesting offseason.
Is it March already?
Oh my god, it is.
It is March. Is tax season over yet?
Yeah. No, you tell me.
It is not yet.
Okay, because I don't think tax season. Technically, tax season just started here.
Oh, so. God. Yeah, just started. Yeah. Okay.
Now, a lot has happened, Adam, since you and I were together in the whole Arena Fan crew in Orlando for the last Arena Bowl. And we had, you know, Arizona winning the back-to-back championships. I said it's been a very, very interesting offseason. It's just a matter of where should we start, eh? It's so many things that have. I think one of the first things that I think we should start with, while quarterbacks really haven't changed in the AFL, it's a matter of names that aren't in the AFL right now. And it's very interesting. Now we know about you okay?
Yeah, go.
We have, for instance, Garcia. Very interesting situation with probably one, you know, longtime veteran, Aaron Garcia. Not on a roster officially. He's officially listed, I think, as refused.
No, he's property of the Sharks.
Just on RTR. We also have missing...
The guy he was traded for.
Yeah, exactly.
Bernard Morris, MIA.
Bernard Morris. And we also had John Dutton, which looks like he didn't come back. He had that injury last year, and he either decided not to come back or whatever the issue was. But out of all of them
– And he'd be back.
Yeah, out of all of them was the Garcia incident itself. Where to start? You know – He's been to so many teams in the past couple of years, you know, San Jose last year, then to Orlando, Orlando to Jacksonville, you know, he's back quote unquote home. You know, he's also been through San Antonio for a spin, but this is very interesting. And it's something that with social media, stuff gets out there. You get a screen capture of it. It never disappears, even if you take it off your Facebook page. And he blatantly said that. Because of how he was not being paid, he wanted to make sure that he was financially stable to be able to take care of his family. Sounded like basically that he wasn't being paid. Should we put paid in quotation marks?
Yeah, it's
paid properly.
Yeah, I mean you're not seeing this in the podcast, but I can't see Tim doing it, but I can already see him making the air quotes.
Yep.
For paid.
Yep.
And this kind of started is shitstorm the right word? Cause I think that's the right word. I think that's the technical term for it.
You had some good feedback actually on this from a lot of fans. We didn't hear much negativity, as I didn't.
This seems like and of course we're talking about the idea of cheating in the AFL. And I did a whole big article on it that I put a lot into, had a lot of different players I spoke to, had a lot of different front office people and coaches and such that I spoke to around the league. All of which have their own interesting stories about either their team is cheating or their team isn't cheating, or they went to go sign with some team and basically asked the team to cheat and the team wouldn't cheat. Or the team would cheat, or the team wouldn't cheat to the same degree. And I guess the term cheat is kind of a loose one because technically a lot of these things are not against the CBA. It's not against the CBA that there's a team out there who flies around in a private jet. Mm-hmm. It's not against the CBA. There's a team out there that hires a private chef to come in and cook meals. It's not against the CBA for players to be given jobs outside of the AFL as long as they're not jobs directly associated with the owners of the teams. Now, whether those players have to show up to work or not to collect their paychecks, that seems to be a different story that the AFL is willing to turn a blind eye to. So, is it cheating? All right, maybe it's not cheating, but is it certainly an unfair advantage? Absolutely.
Well, you look at how, you know, a lot of these rosters change in the offseason, and I'm going to use Pittsburgh as a grand example. It seemed that the roster in Pittsburgh was, quote-unquote, and this is my words, hand-picked for this city, whether it had been for the city, the team, and the owner. I mean, they have a great Trib behind them now as a major sponsor and owner for the Power. It just seemed a little weird that, you know, how this team on paper, and we've had this before, where teams on look fantastic on paper and they end up being total crap.
Orlando.
Yeah, Dallas way back a few years back. So, you know, it does beg the question. It does beg the question. Look at the amount of players that headed over there. Now, yes, they're going to say through the dispersal draft. I'm sorry. Off-season assignment process.
Not dispersal draft.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. You know, they picked up quite a few players. Now, the dispersal draft was really weird, anyways, because Portland hadn't been named yet. LA did not take. They did take part, but Portland, you know, so it's really weird. But as I said, just looking at the roster itself in Pittsburgh, first and foremost, Tommy Grady, you know, and the amount of...
Yeah, immediately, best quarterback in team history.
Right.
Immediately.
Exactly. So, I guess there are enough loopholes within the CBA itself that as long as, A, the players are happy, B, the players are getting paid, and C, the team is winning, or hoping to win, that everything basically is ignored, washed itself.
Yeah, of course. The AFL doesn't want to deal with this because they don't want to make it seem like they're a bunch of cheaters. The players don't care because they're getting paid extra money. You know, the only things that are really losing here are the teams that aren't cheating. There's no... Literally no chance for them to win the Arena Bowl this year. You know going into this season that if you are a fan of certain teams and you know which teams you are, that you have zero chance of winning the Arena Bowl this year. And this is the first time I ever remember, at least in this edition of the AFL,
yeah,
that a team has gone from what I call a have to what I call a have not.
Right.
And that there's been one going back the other direction. You'll have to pardon the cough. I'm still fighting something. But I'm gonna power through this show. You may just get a few of these coughs in here. But Orlando has definitively gone from a team that has to a team that does not have. You just look at what they've done in the offseason from Aaron Garcia, which by the way was a trade where nobody got anything because the three key players in that deal, none of them ever actually showed their butts up to their new homes.
Right.
So that was a perfect deal for everyone. Everyone lost.
Well, that begs another question is why was there such a Montreal Expos type of, or Florida Marlins type of fire sale?
Money. Period.
In Orlando.
Money.
Yeah.
I don't care whether Orlando likes me saying it or not. They're being cheap this year. They're not paying anybody under the table. Nobody's having extreme housing. All the housing sucks in Orlando now. I know where they're going to be. They moved to a crappy part of town. Their facilities are in a crap spot. They're going to have to bus almost 40 minutes to get to their arena. You know, it's a long ways away. They moved out of, we saw what's going to be the last AFL game ever played at the Amway Center, mm-hmm, in all likelihood. Because they moved up to the campus of UCF.
Now, for those who don't know though, Adam, how far what is the difference between the two arenas?
25, 30 minutes.
Okay.
And for the most part, for a lot of fans coming from the side of town that are in the arena, or that are on the side of town where the arena is, where I am, also about $6 in tolls each way.
Oh, okay. I forgot about the tolls.
So, yeah, there's really no way around toll roads for a good chunk of Central Florida. So, you know, there's no perk to coming to Orlando anymore. The only perks in Orlando are you're in Florida, which is awesome, and you're not paying any state income tax. But you know what? You could do that in Tampa, and you could do that in Jacksonville. And in both of those locations, you could at least get some sort of a kickback for the most part. Orlando, not doing a thing for its players.
Now, if you hadn't seen what, you know, Adam did come up with a great list of have and have nots, the story is still available over at arenafan.com. There are a lot of other stuff that happened, obviously, in the offseason. We were just talking about Orlando and the Arena Bowl. This year, No neutral site game. It's actually moving back
to Phoenix. Oh, sorry. Okay.
It's moving back to the site of the highest seed. Now, there's still a huge division among AFL fans, those who are pro neutral site and those who are pro top seed. There is a 2-week delay, or is it a week? A week delay.
Oh yeah, there's the bye week.
There's a bye week in between.
Which will help. That will help tremendously.
Yes. Yeah, especially for those who need to go and cover the game and fly, et cetera, et cetera.
And you're pretty much talking to two of the three of them.
Yeah, and you are a convert, and you've mentioned it before.
I am a convert.
You're now a convert to the neutral site game.
Yes, I am a convert.
How can the league market this properly now, being that they do not know the actual destination? How are they going to be able to market this to the fans in a, you know, with a positive light?
Easy. If your team is the one seed, your team is going to host the Arena Bowl. Now, I have no core problem with the fact that the Arena Bowl is going back to the home venue of the higher seed in the game. I don't have a fundamental problem with that, but for a league that is dying, that needs sponsors left and right, that is burned through sponsors left and right, how in the hell are you ever going to get a sponsor for this game? And the example I use is last year, IOA, which has a big, huge presence in Orlando, but isn't anywhere else, was one of the sponsors. I think it was the IOA presents Arena Bowl 27.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
26,
that was 26, whatever
26,
it was.
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to get that sponsor this year? IOA would be great in Orlando. IOA will not be great in Phoenix. You know, and on top of that, maybe you do find a national type of advertiser like we had back in, was it 10 or 11? I think it was 10 that Napa was a sponsor. It was either 10 or 11, and it was a last second thing.
It was a last second thing, yeah.
Now, maybe that'll be great if the game is going to be in Phoenix, or if the game is going to be in maybe New Orleans, maybe in Philadelphia, certainly in Los Angeles. What about Des Moines? No offense to Des Moines, no offense to Cleveland, no offense to Spokane, even though I think it was the Spokane game when Napa was the sponsor. But if you're a national sponsor, wouldn't you be a lot more inclined to want to have your name on this game if it's played in LA versus if it's played in Des Moines?
It's
going to be a tough sell.
Now, it's very possible they will have something. You know, we've seen things just pop out of the woodwork when it comes to the Arena Football League and when it comes to sponsors. They do technically do have something that's already associated with the Arena Bowl, with Arena Bowl 27. It's Fuga Energy or Fuga Energy. I don't know how to pronounce it properly. You know, it's another energy drink that has latched on. But if I'm not mistaken, they are out of Arizona. I think, if I remember correctly, I think this company is out of Arizona.
Lucky for them.
So, for me, it's just the marketing. I understand. Sponsors can come and go. I mean, look what happened this year. We had ESPN back on, something we'll talk about here in a couple of seconds. I want to know how it's going to be toward the fans. And we brought this up before. Everybody goes back to the game, last game in Arizona for the Arena Bowl. What people tend to forget is that this game, yes, it was technically a sellout.
No one.
Technically, but for a can of something.
They didn't sell that game out. They didn't have a capacity crowd there.
Was it a capacity or close to?
It was close. It was about 1,000 short.
Yeah.
They did not sell out that game.
But it was for, you know, everybody said, oh, well, look at this. It's not the case. If it hadn't been for the, you know, trade in a can, get a ticket,
and that they were doing some ridiculous, like, 10-for-1 deal or something like that.
Something like that. So I want to know, obviously we want this to succeed. The league wants to have more fans, more fans in the seats. It's a matter of how they're going to be able to market this properly so that the fan, that Joe fan from, let's say it's on the West Coast. We'll just leave it at that. We won't say where. On the West Coast, how are we going to get Joe Fan from the East Coast, from an East Coast team, to come out? There are some diehards that will come out for sure. We know that. You know,
you're listening to two of them.
There are, you know, there are people that will travel, like a lot of them do, for the CFL, to the Grey Cup. It's that's I just hope it works. I hope it works right. You just don't want people coming out from the team that is going to be the Eastern team that's going to be in the Arena Bowl coming out if it is on the West Coast.
Well, it doesn't matter where it is now because the league is basically coastal. There is no good place to put this game. And it sure as hell isn't going to be in San Antonio.
It's going to be interesting to see.
You don't think the league wants to pay rent for the Arena Bowl?
Well, my question to this was, it's speaking of, you know, the arena availability. Now, they announced it is going to be not at a neutral site. I am just hoping that all of these teams, and I'm sure it was league mandated. I would hope it was league mandated that they had every team book not only the playoffs, but the week leading up to Arena Bowl. Because no matter where this game is going to be, Adam, it's going to be at 8 p.m. Eastern. We are locked into that because of ESPN.
But at least it's a Saturday. You can get away with playing a game at any time on a Saturday.
Yes.
It's when the game was in Phoenix last and it was played at 5:30 on a Friday.
Don't forget Spokane.
That was 5 o'clock local or 4 o'clock local or something like that.
No, it was 8:30 start time. So it was at 5:30.
8:30?
Yeah, I think it was 8:30.
I remember the sun was still up when we were going over to the arena.
Yeah.
So the middle of the damn afternoon when we went over to that arena.
So it's make sure that they have it booked, you know, because I'm saying if you don't book the arena, the week comes up, you're in the game, and then I'm just hoping it's something that it was league mandated. I just hope it works. I like the neutral site stuff. Gives me more time to go in and prepare. Everybody's going to now have 2 weeks in order to get their tickets and decide where they're going to go. And let's hope that there's a seat sale at the time and these airlines aren't jacking up the price because they have to add another fuel charge or charges for an extra bag.
Somehow I don't think they're going to jack up the price based on the Arena Bowl.
No, but I'm saying just overall, you know what I mean. This time of the year, August.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, it's not going to be cheap. It was over $1,000 to get to Spokane for the two of us.
Speaking of playoffs, getting there, Arena Bowl, there was a modification. Remember last year we had the whole debacle when it came to the issue with, you know, Arizona had clinched the Western Division. Oh, but wait, that may not be true, where Spokane almost pulled one hell of an
lucky upset. League bastards. Yeah. Lucky bastards.
Almost pulled something that would have been a huge slap in the face to everybody. So the rules for the playoffs this year have been modified slightly, and I'm trying to find it.
Yeah, essentially the first tiebreaker is point differential in common games, which at first I was outraged about and then thought about. This isn't going to come up, the situation, because the first tiebreaker is obviously your record in head-to-head games. Now, most of these situations where you would be talking about teams being in tiebreakers with each other, and I'll leave it at consequential ones, because I still don't think it's really going to matter who's going to be the fourth seed in the American Conference, for example. But the big situation would be San Jose versus Spokane, San Jose versus Arizona, or Arizona versus Spokane. That's the one that everybody's kind of jumping at and saying, is this possible? Well, they all play each other three times. So, and if they end in a three-way tie, that you've got to break the division title first, and then you can go back and determine who's the one seed.
Right.
So that there really will be no tiebreakers that come into play from that standpoint. Now, if they do need to go to a second tiebreaker for teams that are only play each other twice, or in the case of some stupid situations in conference where teams don't play each other at all, that's when you'll see point differential in common games come into play.
Now, you had pointed out something that you thought that they're going to be, if that's the case where it is head-to-head, you're going to have a lot of teams just basically going all out and just trying to obliterate Team X so that this doesn't occur.
I still think Arizona is going to do that because Kevin Guy does not leave any stone unturned. Even if he could only possibly end up in this tiebreaker with, I believe it's Portland and San Antonio. I think the only two teams he can end up in that tiebreaker with, he is going to make damn sure that that's not an issue.
Unlike last year, where it almost came back to bite them in the butt.
Arizona went to Des Moines angry that year.
Yeah, well, I would think that if anything, they didn't necessarily go angry. I think they went desperate also.
They won by something like 40 points.
I know, but I'm saying it shouldn't have come down to that. That's the issue. But yeah, as I said, we're going to try to get this up on the website up on ArenaFan. There was the ESPN contract. I think a lot of us never thought that ESPN would actually show their face or give the AFL the time of day again based on what happened before the league went dark.
Amazing what having 12 ESPN stations will do.
It is very interesting. Very interesting. I think it's a great contract that the league has been able to sign. You're going to have it on stations that games have not been on. You're going to have it on ESPN News. I didn't think ESPN News had live sports.
They're covering a couple of the championship games too.
It's going to be back on the Deuce. It's going to be on ESPN. As we know, the championship game, the Arena Bowl, is going to be on ESPN. And this goes along with the CBS Sports Network Game of the Week also. My only issue with all this is, I mean, as I said, I think it's a great a great thing for the league in having this, but I think the way...
Issue is that you're Canadian.
Well, I don't know. It's more than just that, but that's one thing too. I think with the way that it's set up, remember last year, as much as we complained about how bad the CBS player was last year, it was open to everybody. Now, my understanding is that the league is going to be going status quo on how it's going to be. It's not going to be open to everybody. So, if, you know, Fan X does not happen to have one of these providers that allows you to get ESPN3 or have access, you're basically SOL.
Or if you happen to be the only AFL fan in Canada.
There are more. Trust me. I know there are more fans in Canada. But yes, it closes the door to broadcasts to those fans, the rest of those fans in the U.S. and in North America. There are possibly other ways to get the broadcasts, but overall, I mean, you would try not to, you know, what about you yourself as an example? You have DirecTV, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Correct.
If you did not have one of those internet service providers, I know you do, but if you didn't, you wouldn't be able to watch anything. I mean,
yeah.
The league, I understand, is trying to be fan friendly, but do you think after all these past years, Nifty, Ustream, last year the CBS Sports Player?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to look and see how many markets this actually affects. How many AFL markets mm-hmm. this really affects. Mm-hmm. If it affects New York, I don't care. I didn't see Cablevision
okay,
on there.
Okay,
that may affect them, but I don't care about New York.
Saying that though, but I don't like the way you're going with that though, because you really cannot use a market, because as we've seen for the first time since I think 2008, look at the amount of games that are going to be shown locally on TV. You know, Philadelphia has its own contract, maybe with just a couple of games. Obviously, again, one of the best internet providers, streamers out there, Cox 7, is going to have all the Arizona games unless they're on national TV on their streamer. Player. You know what I mean? So it's going to be people who are a fan of, let's say, the Iowa Barnstormers and want to be able to see the games, but they can't see them locally. They won't be able to see them at all.
But what I'm saying is, as long as if I knew, and I don't know, but if I knew that all 14 of our markets had primary cable providers who can get this ESPN3, I wouldn't think it's a big deal.
Right. Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know offhand.
I just don't want – I think, as I said, great for the league to get this contract, but I think it can be a little bit of you are leaving some fans in the dark, and that's what I do not like. That's what I don't like.
It may only be you.
It may only be me.
But we'll bitch about it. Yeah. I'm good about bitching about anything.
Yeah.
We're good.
Next, obviously we got predictions. We got another thing we want to bring up. We actually have a great – things set up this year for you, the fans, and especially the ones that are playing our Arena Fantasy games and our Pick'em games. But before we do, I know this year we are looking to bring you, just like we did last year, as many interviews as possible. And hopefully each week we're going to have a different interview with people from across or associated with the league, teams, players, whatever it may be. we're looking to get these interviews for you. Something that Adam and I started last year, something that should have been done for a long, long time, but we really didn't have the means to do so. So we are really amped about the ideas of some of these people that we're going to have on for you guys this year. Also, there are the message boards. You can contact us also. You know, social media, we're out there. You know this. If you haven't seen it, we're currently running an ad on Facebook, either on the front page or on the side. You can see, I've actually seen it on my mobile device multiple ways. We've put it out there in such a way. We're trying to gain more people to come over to Arena Fan. And by the looks of it, we're in for a very, very exciting year. Fantasy, and we'll get back to it because this is all part of the offseason. Arena Fantasy. We have signed an agreement with Tim Tooker, who is the founder and president of Tim Tooker Flags. He is going to be our official they're going to be the official trophy for everybody this year in the Arena Fantasy and the Pick'em. For those of you who do not know, and this is going to be for we'll expound more on this in a future show, Tooker Flags will not be a part of the CBS broadcasts, the CBS Sports Network broadcasts at all in any way, shape, or form after being with the league last year. I know he's gone on to bigger and better things with other leagues, but we wanted to make sure, and he was very proud to join us this year in being a sponsor for the Arena Fantasy. So if you haven't already, you need to sign up, whether it be for one of our free fantasy games, our paid fantasy, or our pick'em. All champions. This is completely different from how we put out our points for first, second, and third, or depending on what league you're in, or how it's done for the points for the Arena Fan points. Every winner of whatever game it is, you are going to get a personalized Tooker flag with your name, with your online name, whatever it may be. And it's a unique
and our logo.
Yeah, and a unique one of a kind trophy that we hope that you will be able to show off and say, you know, this is something, you know, obviously this is something that I got while playing Arena Fantasy with ArenaFan.com. So, I think I said something that we will bring up in a couple more weeks on the issue. Another interview with Tim. We want to talk with him again. But again, if you haven't signed up, head over to arenafan.com and do so. Besides all of the positives, obviously, Adam, and there were a lot of, well, there was some sadness in this offseason this past year. Some two very, very well-known names in the Arena Football League has passed. And it's with these two men gone, a lot of AFL history has basically gone with them.
Yeah, a lot of championships too. Obviously, if you don't know, we're talking about great coach in AFL history with several different teams, but most notably, probably maybe I don't know, more notable in Detroit or Tampa Bay. Got to be Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah, Tampa Bay. I would say so. Yeah.
You know, longtime coach of the Storm and the Drive, and Denver as well. Tim Markham passed away in, I want to say it was December. I have to go back and check too. And just a couple weeks later, longtime owner of the Storm, Woody Kern, also passed away.
Mm-hmm. From what I've seen, I wasn't able to go. I know you weren't able to either, but the league and his family, I know his family put on a great memorial for Coach Markham.
December 5th was Markham.
The league this year is going to be commemorating his passing and his memory by putting a TM sticker on the back of all helmets, and also the league is selling pins, memorial pins that you are able to purchase through the league store, in order to, if you're a fan that wants to show, you know, to wear it in memory of Coach Markham. Those are being offered. I think of all the stuff that you've written before in the past, Adam. I know we've gotten some great and positive feedback from across the league for the article, the obit type of story that, you know, article that you wrote for Coach Markham. it was not an easy one for you to write.
No, not at all. You know, today's Wednesday, Friday night down in Tampa. I haven't heard anything about this presentation they're going to do, but they are going to have some sort of presentation, and fitting not only in the fact that it's obviously the first AFL game played since his passing and the first one in Tampa, but also that the guy who's going to be wearing black on the other sideline is Pat O'Hara, who was largely like a son to Tim Markham. He was there with him when he passed away. Mm-hmm. He was one of the last people who Tim Markham ever spoke to. So it seems very fitting that I don't know whether it's going to be a full-blown ceremony or they're just going to show a video, whatever the case is. And on Friday night, that's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, Coach Markham and I were very, had a very long history, and he didn't know so much about some of the history because I always thought he was a bastard in the AFL. He was the guy I loved to hate. As a fan, as a, 10-year-old in Orlando who had to deal with Tim Markham coming on my city's radio stations and saying that my city and my fans are what happens when cousins marry and have kids. So I enjoyed nothing more than booing the hell out of Tim Markham, and he enjoyed nothing more than having fans boo the hell out of him. He would have made a perfect heel in WWE. Would have made an absolute, the consummate heel. Loved it. And after, the war on I-4 sort of dwindled down a bit, was also around the time that I got into writing for Arena Fan, and though sometimes I think he confused me for Adam LoCascio, he knew I was Adam, he knew who I was, I'm that guy LoCascio that he hated, because yes, he and former Storm beat writer Adam LoCascio did not necessarily see eye to eye over time, and I got to realize just how much better people came out of that locker room after Coach Gruden, Coach Markham coached him up a little bit. What, you came out a better football player, but you also came out a better man.
Right.
And I am proud to say the fact that I'm a better writer because of Tim Markham, because I'm a better interviewer because of Tim Markham. And there will never be a better interview subject than Tim Markham. Never. You will never hear sound bites like you would have heard out of his mouth. So a very personal passing, to me as well, kind of wrecked several nights there. I was really distraught that I could not get down there for the memorial in the middle of January when that happened.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard about the what they're going to be doing in Tampa. Do you know if it's going to include any portion for Woody Kern also? Because
I have no idea.
Because obviously Woody Kern was associated with the Storm quite a bit. So I would hope that would be the case. I would hope. But as I said, I guess we'll have to see. Anybody who's going to be there in person or may watch the game on ESPN3. We'll see how.
I don't know. Are they naming it the Markham Award? Is that what they have? They announced the name.
They're gonna be naming it after Kern and after Markham. So it's. I'd have to go back and check.
Don't think they actually came up with a name for it. I think they just said that they were going to name the, give the award out in their honor.
Yeah, that's what they
said. Coach of the Year.
Yeah, that's what they said they were going to do.
So I expect that to be named, the Tim Markham Coach of the Year Award or something along the lines.
Yeah, something to that effect. Exactly. I'm trying to look and see what, I don't see it here.
With probably some crap corporate sponsor on it attached to it, of course.
No. I hope you're kidding, because to me that would cheapen it.
Oh, you know they're going to do that.
No, I think that would cheapen it ever so, I mean, Did they do it for the Al Lucas Award?
Yeah, they did.
It's the Pulse.
I don't remember what company they
Pulse.
Stuck on.
It was Pulse. I thought it was the Pulse. No, it was the Al Lucas
Pulse Award.
Pulse Award.
Yeah, but they're gonna stick some corporate sponsor on this too.
I would hope not. To me, I would hope not. I mean, it's like naming the championship trophy, giving it a sponsor. So.
Net 10 presents the Arena Football League. That's all I have to say about that.
Sponsorship money.
That's, right. Yeah, we'll, exactly. Yeah. That's what's going to happen with this. Yeah. Somebody's going to pay for it.
We'll see what happens I can't remember.
We should start pooling our $5 bills together. Maybe we can sponsor it.
I think think it will, I think the net 10 thing, it's extra money. As I said, it's, who knows, you know, maybe in a whole domino effect, Adam, where net 10 came in, it actually showed some of these future, advertisers came in. Maybe it had something to do with ESPN coming in also. Who knows? We don't know all the logistics behind some of these things, but it's, I hope they do not name it, add a sponsorship to it. I would hate that. Do they do that now? Did they do that last year? I'm looking real quick. I can't remember.
Probably did. They had a lot of awards had a lot of stupid sponsors on them.
Let's see.
I'm telling you, Arena Fan Presents.
Head coach of the year, head coach of the year. Yeah, so far it's the Net 10 head coach of the year.
Yeah.
So, it's possible.
Net 10 Markham Award, yep.
Net 10 Markham Kern Memorial Head Coach of the Year Award or something to that effect. I don't know.
It could take an hour and a half before they actually, you know, of pronouncing all the sponsors and such before they actually get to the real award winner.
Thank God, it's like, yeah. Let's see what else. We had playoffs, ESPN, rule changes.
Ownership in Orlando.
Yeah, ownership, rule changes.
Yep.
It's not really a major rule. It's not really, but it's something that was sort of has irked a lot of fans. If you remember, I think it was 2 years ago, correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, 2 years ago where they basically threw in a penalty for D linemen that, you know, they nicknamed it the Tim McGill rule. If you jump off sides once, you sort of get a penalty. You get a penalty twice within a half, you're disqualified for the rest of the half, and once more, if I'm not mistaken, you get disqualified. I still don't know what the rule is laid out to be.
Don't worry, neither do the rest. Yeah. But yeah, that's the rule.
Yeah. Basically, what's happening in 2014, we've been informed that an exact type of rule is being thrown in for the Jack linebackers. And I'm trying to get the actual wording of this here, and I apologize. I had this here in front of me.
Basically, it's your second. It's going to act the same way.
Yeah.
Your second time out of the box, you're going to have to come out for the rest of the half.
Yep.
Which is going to really suck, because how many guys are you actually training to play Jack linebacker in this league?
Well, I'm wondering if it's not going to happen as much as it would. I mean, and it's true. The rule for the Dean lineman really was not done properly. You had guys who did jump off sides, who did get enough penalties to be disqualified, but never were. And then there were the times where everything was done properly. So, I hope that the refs do get the memo to make sure that this is done properly. You know what? It'd be very interesting. Maybe something we can look into, how referees take a new rule and how it is implemented. You know what I mean?
Somebody tells them 5 minutes before the game what the rule is, and no, I'm kidding.
No, maybe something that maybe we can look into and get an answer. Here it is. Okay, same thing as I said. Jack is out of the box 2 times and a half, ruled ineligible for the half. Obviously, like normal, he should still be eligible to play any other position except for the Jack.
Which is interesting, because the offside rule, you're ejected from playing defense.
But you can play special teams.
You can play offense and special teams.
Yeah.
So I don't know what this rule, like, could you switch and become a DB? Which is not an uncommon type of flip.
Because we do still technically do have some Ironmen still playing in the league.
Well, not even Ironman, just going from Jack linebacker to defensive back.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, that's general a lot of Jack linebackers are right now, is they're people who play secondary.
That's a very good question. Something we're going to have to look in. Yeah. So, well, I'll have to find out. See if we can get some clarification.
Yeah. We'll see how it's applied.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. What else? You brought up something. Ownership in Orlando. This is something that has been very, very interesting. Obviously it started with the introduction of the LA Kiss to the league. Jeff Bucci basically left sold off his stake, whatever he did.
Brett, not Jeff.
I always get them mixed up. And went his way, and then a new owner in Orlando and fire sale.
Pretty much.
And
there, Orlando is still not – David Pearsall, who owns this company called PPG, which is in all sorts of legal problems and financial problems up in the Northeast, is the majority owner down here, and his philosophy is, I'm not paying for marketing. The team's going to market itself. We're going to go out. We're going to win games. We're going to go to a smaller arena, and people are going to come and beat down the doors to get in. The team has not run one advertisement anywhere in Orlando that I can see, and the only type of advertising that they have gotten has been Coach Keefe has been on the radio on one of our three radio stations. Now, maybe he's been on more. I've only heard him on one, and I only know of him being on one.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. No players, no television, no radio, no newspaper ads, no billboards, none of that. Now, in Orlando, if you're telling me that less than 6,000 fans were at the games last year, and I still don't believe that, even though that's what the city of Orlando says, how many people are going to drive further to an arena? I mean, my parents became season ticket holders again this year. The team still has not sent out a damn schedule to the fans yet. The first game is on Sunday. My parents haven't even gotten their tickets yet. They don't know where they are sitting.
That's not good.
It is. The game is on Sunday. Today is Wednesday. No communication whatsoever. The entire front office is made up of interns and owners who are happening to do a lot of jobs. That's it.
Now, looking at the roster, and you were talking about this before, looking at the roster, they have a grant. You know how many – I don't know if you've looked at it, but
– Oh, it's bad.
How many –
It's really bad.
How many rookies do they have starting? I'm just asking to see
if you
know.
I think it's 8 out of 20. Wasn't that the number?
It's a grand total of – I just counted it. 1, 2.
No, it's not 18.
10.
I think it's 3 guys off the top.
They have 11.
Head.
11 okay. Rookies.
And Jason Boltis really shouldn't count because he hasn't played a whole hell of a lot. But yeah, I mean, you're in a situation, the problem the Predators had is basically the same problem Portland had. Portland did not even get into the league until free agency was basically said and done with.
Mm-hmm.
Orlando didn't have a head coach during any of that time because Doug Plank in November decided he was going to retire because he didn't want to put up with this crap.
Yeah,
Don't blame him.
Yeah, it was actually broken by us that their new head coach it was while AFL University was being run in Chicago. That's when that was
right.
That's when we broke.
It was in December when Coach Keefe. Yeah, so Coach Keefe, who interestingly enough, was fired as Orlando's offensive coordinator not a year ago, is coming back as the team's head coach. So I think this is the first time that I've ever heard of a team firing a coach as a coordinator and then bringing him back to be a head coach. Now, I think it's an interesting hire. I don't know whether it's a great hire. Ron James was available. I happen to know Ron James interviewed for the job. I am very surprised that Ron James, who was the head coach of the Utah Blaze last year, did not get the job, but the man that was – one of his coordinators, Rob Keefe, did. Fiery guy. Definitely a no BS guy. Don't know how that shtick's going to play in Orlando. Doesn't play the same way that it did in Spokane, though. I will tell you that.
Yeah.
May turn out to be a good hire. I think he has put together a reasonable roster, things considered of the situation that he was in, but the team's going to stick.
This is technically an expansion franchise. If you have 18 of 24 players with a year or less of experience.
That's where the 18 came from.
Yeah.
A year or less. Yeah.
Yeah. Year or less. That's, you're an expansion team.
And it's not like this is, you know, look, all these guys with R's next to their name were all guys who were traded to Orlando for Preche Rodriguez and for Dominic Jones. And for Simeon Castile and for all the veterans of this team who all were probably getting their palms greased in some way, shape, or form that are all now playing somewhere else.
Yeah,
and virtually all of them went to teams that are historically good. Now, what does that try to tell you? You know, and again, it brings back to the just look at the standings. You will generally be able to tell who is doing things aside from just the CBA, here's your contract, versus who isn't.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have only two players that have more than 2 years. That have more than 3 years. Baltus actually has
Baltus. And one of them, T.T. Tolliver, and without looking, I think the other one's Tanner Varner.
But the most it would be him, Tolliver, and Mark Lewis. They're at 9 years.
Oh, I forgot about Mark Lewis.
Yeah, and then Tanner Varner at five. Those are your experienced players. Oh, sorry. Prentiss Purnell also has five.
Don't think he, did he make final?
He made final roster. I'm looking at it in front of me.
I don't know if he's been free in camp yet. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But I don't think he's been in training camp yet.
Well, he's on here and he's not listed as being on anything else.
Okay. Well,
yep.
Maybe he's got one of these deals where he doesn't have to show up to camp. I don't know.
But yeah, it's basically an expansion team.
It's a really bad team.
I mean, you do have somewhat of a, I mean, Jason Baltus is not a bad quarterback. You saw
what we don't know.
You saw what he did when Grady went down. He was able,
didn't win games.
He was able to play, though. That's the thing. He was able to play. I mean, we know that within Utah that the defense basically was up and down, offense up and down. So it's – they do have at least a quarterback. Who is their backup?
Some guy. I don't know.
Wilson Masood out of Bethel.
Yeah.
I don't.
It was supposed to be Bernard Morris being backed up by Jason Baltus, but that didn't work too well.
No.
By the way, Bernard Morris lives here. What does that tell you? Bernard Morris lives 15 minutes from my house. What does that tell you?
Well, does that mean if he had not been traded, would he have still played in Jacksonville?
I have no idea. But he lives in Orlando, yeah. So why is he not playing for the Predators?
Yeah.
I will let you draw your own conclusion.
Yeah. And then obviously there's the move. As I said, the move over to CFE Arena. We've seen pictures. The end zones are going to be extremely short, possibly
6 yards.
6 yards, thank you.
I will walk it off on Sunday, but they are 6 yards.
At 6 yards. It is going to be smaller, yes. It'll be more intimate, yes. But the
78-78.
Remember the last time that we were on that a team had. That the league had a team that played in an arena. God, this is
Rockford.
This is a long ass sentence. In an arena that was on a college campus was.
Oh.
Come on, it's another short field.
Austin.
Bing!
Austin.
Exactly.
Oh, that wasn't. No, that's
that
not
was,
true.
No.
That's it's not on campus.
Well, they. The
Earth Center is not on the campus
okay.
of UT.
Oh, okay. I thought it was.
But it's damn near it.
Yeah.
This, I think, I don't know. This may be the first time that we've actually played the AFL on a physical college campus.
I'm trying to go back as far as I can. I have to go back and check some of the old arenas. You're probably right.
And it's going to be a train wreck, and I'm going to be there to witness
it's
it.
It's going
to
be interesting. I'm curious.
The 2014 Predators are not lacking intrigue. I will give it that.
Yeah. They may surprise, as you said it at the beginning of the show, they are the Chicago Rush this year of the league. So it's, they're not homeless, thank God, but you know.
Yep. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know where else they're moving the team. Lakeland? I don't know.
Not only, as I mentioned before, CBS Sports Network, I swear it's like a throwback era to the World League of American Football, Adam. They're putting cameras on the helmets again. And instead of having Tooker flags during the CBS broadcast, they're going to be having this shoot vision. You got to say that very carefully. Shoot vision.
Hey, we're not monitored by the FCC.
On these games. So it's going to be like a GoPro camera, but it's going to be like the World League of American Football. Does anybody remember that?
Nope.
Orlando Thunder? No?
When did the Orlando Thunder exist?
1991. I was about to say, how old were you in 91?
Six. Next question.
Yeah, that's dating me. But yeah, it's, if anybody has a chance, we have put a video up, we had a link to it. for the
And it is pretty damn cool.
It is. But if you go back and just for giggles, Adam, go back and check. If you have a chance, go back to anybody, go back to YouTube and do a search for World or WLAF camera. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It's almost the exact same thing. It's almost the exact same thing. I don't know what the difference is and how they're going to use this. Maybe this has sound. I don't know. But in this day, you know, this day and age, you can wire up a guy with a mic. So I don't know how they're going to use this.
I know. I sure hope they're not using it live.
I'm curious. You know, it would be very.
Because then we will have FCC problems.
It's possible. They may do it live. And hey, Adam, oh my God, I just thought of something. This is going to be their goal line camera. This is going to be the use for replays.
Oh, God.
No. Yeah. So it's the Shut Vision. I think it's technology. They're trying things. You know, the league is – well, the Arena Football League has been involved in some very unique technology. And I still don't get it, you know, because they still have the replays. Why they cannot get a camera on the freaking goal line. And if anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, you should. But if you don't, all I gotta say is
2008 New York Dragons.
Yes, that's all you gotta say. Yep. So it was, yeah. I still don't get it. I still don't get it at all. Coming up in future weeks, we are going to make sure that we do ask you, at least if you have any questions that you want to ask.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about this.
Yeah. Make sure that you ask us a question. We'll send it out via our social media, Twitter, Facebook, slash at ArenaFan. There is Instagram also. That's also / ArenaFan. Hey, Adam, there's also our YouTube page. That's new. You have to do a search.
My new baby.
Yeah, you got to do a search for Arena Fan. It is there. We're throwing a bunch of old stuff that you haven't seen before just recently, Adam. If you haven't seen it, we threw up the old ads for the promo for the NBC, AFL and NBC.
But there will be no videos like the one of Tim Capper doing the Harlem Shake at the arena.
Yeah, that got a heck of that got a lot of views. Even my family laughed at me. So.
Viral, Tim.
I'll have to find a fad for me to do this year at Arena Bowl. Whatever it is, I promise you, and I promise you the fans, whatever it is, if there's a dance, I'll make sure I'm doing it. We'll get it on video.
Flagging this tape.
Yeah. Make sure. We'll make sure. But yeah, check out our YouTube page also. That's new. And also, as I said, message boards, whatever. If you want to contact us, send us a message. We're on, you can do it via the Facebook, so on and so on. Email also, tim.capper@arenafan.com, adam.markowitz@arenafan.com. There are multiple ways that you can get a hold of us. Trying to think, oh, season, man, I can't believe this. It has been a long off season. I remember wanting the schedule to come out, Adam. I was very excited to see it come out. We have Portland in, we had LA in, LA. Wow, looking forward to 2014. LA as of yesterday released these very, 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 I'll throw in another, very interesting uniforms and helmets, didn't they? Now, I know you're not a helmet guy. I know you're not a uniform guy. But those I think are the most outrageous uniforms and helmets we've ever seen in AFL history. They're not the most iconic, but they're the most very interesting things that I've seen in quite a very, very long time.
I still haven't decided whether this is cool or hideous, and I think I'm going to withhold judgment until I see this thing up close next week when LA comes to Orlando, and I will get a good look at one of those helmets, and then I will make my decision whether I think this is cool or terrible.
The problem is you'll probably be able to look at those. From my understanding, Adam, you won't be able to see the chrome helmets. Those are home helmets.
Oh, that's it? Those are just home?
I'm under that impression. We'll find out.
Oh, that sucks.
We'll find out this week when Portland hosts their first game.
I'm not flying to LA to find out.
But from what I'm understanding, but also, besides that, it looks like, and we haven't been able to confirm what the color is going to be, LA is going to have a different colored turf. Now, for those of you who know about and follow college football, you know about Boise State and the infamous Blue Field. If you know about Eastern Washington, you know about their infamous Red Field, Red Turf. There is a, I think a high school, there's one in a high school, can't remember where it is, but I think they actually have purple turf. We've heard black, we've heard silver. We don't know what color.
And yet it kind of looks purple.
Yeah, we do not know what color this turf is going to be.
Kiss is going to make it change colors during the game.
That would be so weird.
What do you think Kiss is?
Then we can go into that too. I mean, Kiss itself, I will admit, Kiss has been very good to this league.
That's weird. You know, weird and off the wall, and they are going to do every gimmick possible to get on SportsCenter.
I am very surprised that somebody hasn't tried this before. Now, mind you, and as we know, sometimes if a team happens to fold or leaves or whatever or moves, there is turf elsewhere. You know, as an example, CFE for Orlando, that's the old Chicago Rush turf.
Yeah, because they couldn't get the one out of the Amway Center because the Amway Center owned it. And they're like, no, we're not giving this to you.
Yeah, and it's like when Chicago played in Rockford last year, different turf. So they probably bought part of the game system, you know, the nets and whatnot. I didn't see what their nets are, the old rebar ones or the solid ones. But they have took it up amongst themselves to have a different colored turf. And I'm curious to see how it's going to play because the picture that we saw – if it's gonna be black and, you know, silver numbers, it's gonna be interesting. I hope it's gonna be white because you want to make sure that it's actually readable.
Yeah. It is going, well, it's gonna be impossible to read those uniforms.
Yeah.
The numbers on the back of those uniforms, it's gonna be freaking impossible.
Yeah, it's gonna be,
This team is gonna be a nightmare to broadcasters and journalists.
Yeah. Yeah, no, hopefully, if they have to, you know, I don't think they're gonna make any modifications, but the flame pattern was very interesting. It was very interesting to say the least, so. But I was very, once I saw those helmets, I was like, what? I've seen some weird helmets in my time. Portland, we're not seeing really what Portland looks like as of yet. We know there are some slight changes to teams. Cleveland's having a new uniform this year. Spokane's added a third jersey and another helmet. For you San Jose Sabercat fans, there's a modification to their jerseys this year, a slight modification.
Predators have slight modifications to their jerseys too. Everybody's wearing bags over their heads this year.
How are they going to see through the holes in the bags?
Does it matter?
Well, yeah, I don't know. But you know, you have two expansion franchises this year. Expansion franchises this year.
One expansion franchise and one.
There's no remnants of the Milwaukee team for Portland. None whatsoever.
Yeah,
Not even a player. Not even a player. So, but you know, going forward, I mean, we have games is coming up starting Friday all the way through Monday. I'm sorry, LA is actually starting off in San Antonio this week. It's San Jose and Portland on Monday on CBS. But the games will be available, Adam, and hopefully in high quality. But when we talk about the season itself, so far we're looking at it, it's just a matter of if we were to choose, I think the two teams out of each conference, and we'll keep it easy this way, out of each conference that we think they're going to make the championship game in each conference, who would they be? I think it's
Arizona and Philadelphia. I feel like we've heard this before.
Yeah. I do too. Now, if we were to pick, sorry, I might say two out of each conference. Sorry, two out of each conference. I apologize.
Okay, well, let's just do it this way. I mean, it seems to me there's a very – there are some very clear divides in the AFL.
Quite. Even if
you have – yeah. In my opinion, there are only three teams right now with any chance whatsoever to win it all. And that would be Arizona, San Jose, and Philadelphia. And now, Spokane fans, I get it. I hear you, and you might be right. Spokane is definitively is the next team in line that could hop up into that group. Pittsburgh is also in that group to me. Mm-hmm. LA is also in that group to me. Now, and Jacksonville is also in that group to me. Now, beyond that, you have nothing but crapola in the AFL. Iowa is probably the top of that. Tampa Bay is towards the top of that. And from there, it gets significantly worse. San Antonio is going to be a wreck this year. Portland, not its own fault, just because the team was given no shot. Is probably going to stink this year, even though I love Coach Sauk. Hope Darren Thomas does great. I think they're going to have a great home field advantage this year. They're just not going to be very good. And they're stuck playing half of their games against San Jose, Oakland, and Arizona. Good luck. Orlando's a train wreck. New Orleans, I mean, we'll see. Maybe they won't be a train wreck. Maybe they'll win 7 or 8 games this year. And Cleveland is going to be a train wreck again. So it's, I think you've got the disasters, the teams who could sneak into the back ends of playoffs, the teams that may upset some of the best teams, and in the end, it's still going to come down to, in my opinion, it's Arizona is in a class by itself, and San Jose and Philadelphia are just below that.
Now, it can be tough for teams like Tampa Bay. Obviously, they lost Adrian McPherson to the CFL.
And Shane Boyd to the IFL?
Yeah, that's another thing that I wanted to talk about, and we'll leave it for next week. You know, when it comes to, you know, Mario Rudy goes to, you know, all these teams, these players basically backtracking, Chris Dixon, basically backtracking and then going to the alphabet leagues from the AFL, which is something that we rarely ever saw. But, you know, it can hurt a lot of these. You look at these first year quarterbacks that are in the league this year. It can be tough, you know, especially when you have a rookie head coach in Tampa Bay. I think it's one thing we forgot to mention.
That's the other team that changed coaches.
Rookie head coach in Tampa Bay. You know, and it's very possible for the first time in a very, very long time, if before they were Tampa, you know, two of the three Florida teams being absolutely horrible? Is that possible?
They were horrible last year. It's just that one of them had to make – actually, they both made the playoffs more or less by default because the rest of that conference was atrocious.
Yeah. Some teams have made some upgrades. Obviously, you look at Pittsburgh. As I said, I think the players were handpicked for this team. Philadelphia is strong as ever. Each team has made some slight modifications. You know, other than Jacksonville's, you know, Orlando. It's just, wow.
Well, Jacksonville, I think, is a slightly worse team than it was last year.
Yeah. Now, you were talking about Spokane before, and it seems to be that I'm actually higher on Spokane because, to me, Spokane seems to be a team that's able to do with what they have and have been able to win. Remember how well they started off last year. Remember how well,
But their pipeline to BC is now gone. Their pipeline to BC is in BC.
No, it is true. It's still, but remember, it seems to be that whenever these teams have a tie to the CFL, some way, shape, or form, they are able to keep their tie. And it's usually, their tie to these CFL teams are to give the CFL players. It's rarely, you know, coming back. But if you remember specifically how Eric Meyer started off last year, I think it was a league record, you know.
Oh, it was nuts!
Yeah. If they start off the exact same way again, they start off 5-0, they start knocking off these people. But the problem is the way that the schedules are totally made up this year. You know, playing these teams 3 times, whether you're a conference opponent or not, Arizona, San Jose, you know, that was another change in the offseason. It could be very, very interesting. Now, I will admit, Philadelphia to me seems to be Philadelphia-Pittsburgh seem to be the class of the American Conference.
Yeah, God, does anyone have to win the South?
Yeah.
Can the South be won with 6 wins this year? 6 is probably a little low.
I'll say 500. If the lowest it would be 500. But it's going to be very interesting how these teams make it. Like I said, and for the National Conference for me, Spokane, Arizona, obviously. I'm not so high I am on LA. I put San Jose there at a very close third, but LA at a distant fourth.
I'll give you my problem with Spokane.
Yeah.
Because again, you could say all you want about the regular season. This really comes down to one game, marbles on the line, is Spokane beating Arizona, is Spokane beating San Jose? The answer last year to that question was no. They didn't do that. They beat up on a Chicago team who they should have been playing on the road, not at home, in the playoffs. And then they went to Arizona and they got their butts kicked. There is no way Eric Meyer can play as well this year as he did last year. Maybe he does. Maybe he proves me wrong. But I how much better do you want him to do? That defense is a lot worse this year than it was last year. Now, the offense looks phenomenal with the addition of Mike Washington. Looks like a phenomenal, phenomenal offense. Could score 70 points per game this year. Legitimately could average 70 points per game. But how are they going to, you know, I mean, the book on Eric Meyer was written by the end of the season. If you get him too flush, he will make mistakes. Don't think that every team in that, you know, western half of the world has not studied that tape and tried to figure that out. So I that's where I'm down on Spokane from that standpoint. Clearly in my eyes, the third best team in that conference, but not as good as it was last year.
Should be very thing, and it's some of these teams, you know, no matter like Arizona, even if he has rookie players, he always seems to get the best out of them. And
you got Nick DeVila.
Yeah.
As long as you got Nick DeVila, you're loaded at wide receiver. Arizona is the one team that I think could lose, the only team in the league that could lose its quarterback and still be a winning team. The only one in the league.
It's all based on backup quarterbacks and how.
And Jason Murietta has been there.
Yeah.
Why no one signed Jason Murietta to at least attempt to start this year, I have no idea. But instead we're going to regurgitate Jason Boltis and Randy Hippard and Chris Deeker.
And we got the surprise in,
And Mitch Mustaine.
Yeah, Mitch Mustaine in San Antonio.
Yeah.
So, it's gonna be interesting. Very interesting, I will admit. Now, it's tough to choose. You know, we're about to wrap up our first show of the year, but I know we want to at least mention it can be tough to choose this early in the season, Adam. But if we were to look at maybe an overall MVP or an offensive player of the year, who would you
Nick DeVila. Done.
Interesting.
Nick DeVila, 130 touchdowns this year. He's going to put up some just obscene number this year.
Okay. Now, if we're early coach of the year, that's an even more interesting question.
That is a more interesting question. That is a more interesting question. I'll go with Bob McMillan because I think he is the best coach in the league.
Okay.
And I tend to believe that if LA gets in the playoffs, that they're going to win so many postseason awards just because they're LA. There's going to be a lot of this year because they're LA.
Should be interesting. Obviously, the league's already getting the looks and the hype and the promo from LA and the kiss and. What,
we get it. This is now the most important franchise in the AFL.
What
we
aren't
get
they doing? You know, LA and they play out of Anaheim. So, it will be very, very.
Have they formally announced whether we're supposed to be calling, you know, whether we're supposed to be calling them the LA kiss or the Los Angeles kiss? Have they formally determined that yet?
Well, from what I'm understanding, from what I see, when you look at everything that I receive from them, I think it's listed as LA. But for me, it's, you know what? They're in Los Angeles. You just see LA as a law kiss. No. To me, they're the Los Angeles kiss. So.
The Los Angeles kiss of Anaheim.
Yeah, Los Angeles kiss of Anaheim. Exactly.
Why not? Everything else in Anaheim is the blah, blah, blah of Anaheim.
Exactly. Now, looking forward, I'll give you the last thought of the show before we go, Adam. One specific thing that you are looking forward to, whether it be personal or whether it be league-wide, that you're looking forward to 2014.
Aaron Garcia donning LA Kiss jersey.
Now, we were at Arena Bowl, and I happened to joke about it. It was after you did your interview with him, which is available over on our YouTube page. I asked him, you know, without asking him, you know, will you basically be in LA? Will you be in an LA uniform?
Yes, I think the way you put it is, will you be kissing Orlando goodbye?
Yeah, exactly. That's what
only you would pun like that.
Yes,
in the AFL.
Yes, I did. I did say that.
I have been saying this since the day the franchise was announced. Aaron Garcia is going to be their quarterback at some point this year. He's going to get traded from brother to brother again, paid God knows how much to go play in LA. the league is going to make a big, huge whoop out of it that, oh, Aaron Garcia is the savior. He's coming out of retirement. He's going to make L.A. to the playoffs. And look, the truth of the matter is he would make L.A. a much more formidable team. No offense, J.J. Rattrink, you're not Aaron Garcia.
It should be interesting. For me,
Aaron Garcia wearing his 75th different AFL uniform.
I did the math, and everybody needs to remember, you know, if you've been watching the, you know, and watching the Arena League as long as we have, remember, Garcia, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's fifth overall in pro football history when it comes to yards. I'm trying to remember this. I'm the one who came up with the stat and put it on.
I know he's behind Calvillo, and he's behind,
he's behind Favre, he's behind Damon Allen, he's behind, I think he's fifth, he's either fifth or seventh. Something to that effect.
But he's got, he doesn't need to do another thing in the AFL. Nobody's ever touching his records.
No, no. And you know, if he happens to stop, he does not, come back.
He made it clear that he is not retired.
Yeah, I know. It's true. It is so true.
By week six, he'll be in LA. You watch. You wait and see.
Just remember this, ladies and gents. As of last year, Aaron Garcia has thrown for 1,304 touchdowns. The nearest guy active is Nick Davila with 442.
Yeah, enjoy playing eight more seasons at least to even think about that number.
It's absolutely nutballs. So, we're back. We'll be back every week on Wednesday, everything permitting, obviously. Adam, I'm glad to have you back as my co-host again this year. I think we do the league and the fans a great service, in my opinion, getting out information and talking about the league that we do love to watch. Whether we complain, whether we bitch about certain things, we still do have a lot of positive to say about the Arena Football League. But again, Adam, I'm glad you're back with me. Again, if you have anything you want to, any comments or concerns, you can email both Adam and me. We gave the email addresses before, but we will be back next week. So for everybody at AFL Tonight, for Adam Markowitz, I'm Tim Capper. Watch the rebound. Off with that.